breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Until you put up someone that's got a real vision for what the Democrats are going to offer, I think they're still going to struggle. So I think you're going to see some wins. I think last night was an example. You got some Democratic wins. You got some Trump wins. You had a handful of Republican wins. But I think overall, it's going to be race by race. It's going to be district by district. You're going to see more targeting and money and strategy than you've ever seen before.
I really do believe that. I said that earlier today on Harris Faulkner's broadcast, and I still believe it. I don't think that there's a big blue wave. I think you have little blue explosions, and I think you're going to have some red explosions, and I think you got Trump affecting all of it. Love him, hate him, indifferent to him, Trump is having an impact on what's going on last night, and I'm interested to see if my next guest agrees with me. She is the twice best-selling author, her most recent How Do I Tax Thee? She's a contributor to The Hill, and you see her all over Fox News as well, and she's just a beautiful human being, you know, inside and out. She's just one of those kind of people that we need more of on this planet. Kristen Tate is her name, and she rejoins us. Kristen, welcome. Glad you're here. Let me get your real quick reaction to what I just said in that cut on Harris's show earlier. I don't see a blue wave or red wave. This is going to be a bunch of individual contests, isn't it?
Hey, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I think you're spot on. I actually am a little bit more pessimistic. I think that there is a small blue wave. I mean, I think calling it a blue wave is a little overblown, but I think the Democrats are increasingly getting the upper hand due to a few factors. However, last night, what I think we really saw is that when it comes to Republican candidates, they need to be very careful about overly criticizing Trump, especially in states where Trump won big. I mean, in South Carolina, we saw Mark Sanford lose the primary there. He's been a very vocal critic of Trump. In South Carolina, though, in 2016, Trump won 55% of the vote. So I think that was a bad decision, a bad call on Sanford's part. But bottom line, Kevin, I think a lot of these politicians, especially those on the right who have been critical of Trump, they've got to stop reading the New York Times and the Washington Post, and they need to start listening to their constituents, the hardworking Americans. Why wouldn't hardworking Americans want tax cuts, a secured border, and more jobs? I mean, it's common sense.
Right.
So it's fine to criticize Trump when he legitimately does something wrong, but when you align yourself with the obstructionist movement as a Republican, that, in this environment, is the kiss of death.
Well, and I think that sector of the Never Trump people, which still exist, and by the way, when I said something on Twitter today about, you know, this is what happens if you overly oppose Trump, I got bombarded with Joe Walsh listeners who were telling me, you know, he voted with Trump 87% of the time. Well, in this environment, Kristen, with this policy, now forget Trump's personality. I understand for some of the more evangelical and the more, pious Republican voters in the past, I understand why Trump rubs people wrong personality wise. But where has it been on policy, on really hardcore policy, that you have seen a strong divergence from something that normal conservatives and church-going tax-paying people would love? Now, some people will say the tariffs, my position on that, he uses them as a negotiation tool. And maybe I'll concede tariffs if they actually go into effect. But where else would you have the reason to only vote with him 87% of the time in 18 months?
No, I think you're exactly right. And this sort of highlights this battle between rhetoric and policy. If you talk to anti-Trump conservative voters, or Democrats for that matter, and you ask them why they don't like Trump, overwhelmingly you get complaints about his tweets or, you know,
right,
the way he handles himself or how he talks. But when it comes to policy, Republicans should be pretty happy with what Trump has done. And I think we need to agree as Republicans and as conservatives that policy is always more important than rhetoric. And so far, Trump has delivered as much as he can in the face of an obstructionist Congress and a bunch of do-nothing Republicans, too, on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, Kristen, and you're totally right. Even today, Congress is trying to put forward a bill that would satisfy Mr. Trump's desire to take care of Dreamers, but also build the wall and secure the border. They've got the four pillars that Trump laid out that he wants. They've got a bill. Democrats will not even engage them on it, even though it wasn't 6 years ago that they overwhelmingly supported a bill in Congress that set aside 42 was it billion for the wall, and then they had for greater border security, and at that time they were wanting to take care of the Dreamers as well. They voted for these very same things that now, simply because Trump's name is attached to it, they're pulling away, going, "Oh no, we could never support that," even though policy wise it's exactly what they were asking for a few years ago.
Right. Well, that's just because they've become the party of no, and they're running on obstructionism and promises of more investigations and that kind of thing.
So they don't really care about the Dreamers, is what that means.
Well, yeah, they've never cared about the Dreamers. I mean, the Dreamers have always been political pawns to them. It's a political issue and a cheap shot and a way for them to just scoop up votes. But look, Kevin, I really think that this strategy from these folks on the left is probably not going to work. This sort of obstructionism might play well in deep blue states, but when it comes to moderate states, it just doesn't play well. And a case in point here is that we've seen Joe Manchin, who's up for re-election in West Virginia, a Democrat, saying he regrets voting for Hillary in 2016, and they endorsed Trump in 2020. These Democrats in moderate states know that they cannot align themselves with the National Democratic Party or its leaders at this point, because it's become so far left that, frankly, it's alienating to a lot of folks in this country who used to be blue dog Democrats.
Right. People that go to church, pay their taxes, basically just want government's help on some things. They're not really into the really hardcore progressive agenda that they're getting. Well, Kristen, we got so much into that, we didn't even have time to discuss North Korea, but give me 20 seconds on your thoughts. They come away with a first step towards a very long process, but thumbs up or down from Tate's take today?
Generally speaking, thumbs up. I mean, it was a historic moment, but I'm very skeptical about the North Koreans, as we all should be. And I thought that the statement that both leaders signed was a little overgeneral, and it didn't do a whole lot to give us any assurances about verification to see
that's
that North
okay.
Korea
I'll
will
let,
actually
I'll let
fall
Mike
through.
Pompeo and John Bolton pick it up from there, and I think I'll be okay with John Bolton for sure. Kristen, it's good to talk to you. Have a happy Wednesday. It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Stay with us.